Keith. On the phone today we have...
We have Dr. Andrea Mobley of the MCCSC.
Dr. Mobley, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Well, we don't have anything to talk...
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we don't have anything to talk about, so...
You got to be kidding me.
Right, I am. I'm getting my pen and paper out because we have lots to get to today, and we hope you are the perfect person who can answer all of our questions because, first of all, we know in the MCCSC, a decision by parents is required by next Monday.
That's right.
And that's
right.
And that's a big decision.
It is. And we understand the challenge and the difficult time. We're empathetic to our families and who are trying to make this tough decision and do what's best for their kids. So we're trying to provide as much information as we can through our plan. Our principals will have information out very soon about their plans. You know, we're very excited to have our students returning. We know that students need to be in school and learning academically, socially, and emotionally. We've had our reentry committee and others have been working for the last several months to prepare to reopen as safely as we can. We had a lot of people from the community involved in the committee and a lot of people really working hard, making sure that we're following the latest guidelines from the Indiana Department of Education and the State Department of Health. And we're working very closely with the local health department. You know, school is going to look a little differently this year, but we're following all the guidelines provided and more.
Now,
and I'd be happy to share what some of those things are.
We'll get to that 38-page packet here in just a minute, Dr. Mobley. But explain why Monday is important for the decision process of whether you are going to learn virtually or physically go to school, because the teaching aspect of this is not as simple as setting up a Zoom meeting in your homeroom and watching from home.
No, I think it's not only I think is it important to families have that decision made, but it's also important for us so that we can plan the best we can, so we know how many students to expect in a classroom, how we need to arrange the desks, how many people are going to be online, how many teachers do we need to be online. But also, I think families, they want to know, they want to have a little bit of peace of mind. So I think that they're ready to make that decision, and hopefully they'll have the information that they need to make that decision.
And just to make sure I have my facts correct, if you choose on Monday, July 20th, that you will be virtually educated, you will learn from home from a teacher that is not the one you will have at school, and you will be committed for the entire semester to learn from home virtually.
That's correct. That's what we're asking for, a semester commitment. And it won't be the classroom teacher from the school, but we are trying to find a way so that students and families can still have that connection to their home school, because we know how much that means to our families. We know how much they love and care about their homeschool, and the homeschool loves and cares about them. So we want to try to find a way to maintain that connection in some way. And we know that when students return, we want them to feel like it's a smooth transition back. So we feel that that connection is going to be important, and we want to try to maintain that in some way. Also, though, we are going to allow a two-week period at which someone may change their mind in terms of the format that they've selected. If they decide, you know, that they were a little bit apprehensive, but they're talking to their friends and families, and they, you know, observe what's going on, see what's going on in the school, and then they say, okay, you know, maybe it's a week into it. I just wanted to see how it was going to look a little bit more. So we're giving them the opportunity to have a time in there to make that change. And that was something we heard from the community and in some of our conversations, that they wanted a little bit of time to make that decision. So we were able to provide that.
Well, that's excellent, because I know that we've asked everyone to be flexible, and having the corporation be flexible as well. That's a nice reciprocity there, because no one knows what it's going to be like. And you don't want to say, okay, well, we'll learn at home. And after a week you say, geez, this stinks. I want to go back to school. That's great that there's that 2 week bend, not break period. That's very encouraging to hear, because I'm not sure that has been publicized perhaps enough. Or again, I'm not reading the 38 page document with the with the magnifying glass. Well, that's why we wanted to have you on today, to help people understand these things. And Keith, the other part of this is very interesting as well, is if you go to school for the first, I don't know, 8 days or whatever it is, you can also go back to the, say, well, I tried it that way, I didn't like it. You can go that way as well, correct, Dr. Mobley?
That's correct.
So either way, you can make this happen. Now, another big question moving forward is going to be, once we are in past that 2 week period, we understand where they're going to be home or be away. What are we doing with extracurricular activities at perhaps the junior high and high school levels? That's been a popular question asked.
Yeah, so we are going to have extracurricular activities. They may look a little bit differently. I think band's going to look differently than it's looked before. Choir's going to be different. Students are going to be spread out as much as they possibly can. We're going to try to provide those extracurricular activities and guidance with the in-class document that was provided by the DOE and others, so that students have that full experience as possible.
Dr. Andrea Mobley is our guest this afternoon, checking in from the MCCSC. And buses and transportation and lunches and masks and classrooms and, oh my, we have everything. Let's start with the transportation side of things.
Yeah.
If I need to take a bus to the MCC, to my school at the MCCSC, that is still possible, correct?
Yes, that is still possible, but we are encouraging those who can walk or drive to school to do so. Our buses are going to be sanitized after every route. Our drivers will be wearing masks, and students will be assigned to seats, spread as far apart as possible. Students who live in the same household may sit together, and that's all in the guidance from the in-class document from the state. So we'll trying to, when we can, make our routes a little bit smaller to better accommodate social distancing on our buses. We'll have the windows down. We're looking at adjusting routes when possible. But I think we've got some good plans in place for this, and our transportation is working really hard on making this as safe as possible.
Now, for the bus thing as well, sometimes my kids ride the bus. Sometimes they don't. Is that flexibility still happening as well?
It is, and that's one of the reasons why it's going to be important too, that we have assigned seats and we take attendance, so we know who's on the bus on what particular day.
Gotcha. So that's important. Now, when we get to class, we're going to wear face masks, some kind of facial covering, all day long for the most part, and there's just a couple of exceptions when not. Those masks will not be worn.
That's correct. It sounds like you've done your homework.
Well, I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, so I've done most of my homework. But we are still on the fence about what's going to happen, how this is going to happen. Also, explain to people. We'll get back to the face coverings here in a second, because I think everybody gets that part of it. There's nowhere you go anymore where you think, well, I don't need a mask. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. But. What's going to be the final decision, or who makes the final decision, Dr. Mobley, of whether we're all just going to stay home and be virtually schooled again? Does that come from the governor? Does that come from the State Department of Education, the State Board of Health, the Monroe County? Who gets to decide? Because we've already seen Washington Township in Marion County say, no thanks, we're doing virtual school. How is that going to play out here locally?
Well, there is a possibility that the governor would say once again that we are to stay at home. I haven't heard that's going to happen, but then again, that could change tomorrow. But ultimately, it's up to the local school board to make that decision.
Excellent. So if that's where it's going to come from, unless it's superseded by the governor or the governor has always said, you can't go faster than what we're going, but you can go slower if you'd like. So is that taken into consideration as well?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Excellent. So it is local and home rule on this. So the board, Keith, you will have to make this decision at some point. And hopefully not. Hopefully we everybody wears their masks. Hopefully we start figuring it out and hopefully things start getting better. Dr. Andrea Mobley is our guest. And the face masks and the coverings and everything that goes with that, that's just best practices from the CDC and the State Department of Health.
Yes, and actually it's going a little bit further than the recommendations from the Department of Health, but that's the decision that our board has made, and our staff will be wearing masks, the students will be wearing masks, except the 3 to 5 minute breaks when directed by a teacher, or when outside on recess, or if we're encouraging classes to be outside, so if they're outside and they're socially distanced, then they would be able to take their mask off with the direction of a teacher. And we understand that, you know, people are, the mask can be a very heated issue with some people. We've got people on one extreme, we've got people on the other extreme, and we're sympathetic with all of them, but this is the way to keep all of our students and staff as safe as possible. And we'll have students that will socially distance in classrooms. I was in a classroom the other day where we had 24 seats spread apart, 6 feet social distance. They were able to, if their whole class decides to come to in-person learning, then we've got a seat for each of those students spread out 6 feet apart in the classroom. So our principals are working really hard to clear out extraneous things in rooms and to make as much room for desk as possible. The cafeterias in some cases, auditoriums and libraries and other large spaces might be used if we need more space to socially distance classrooms. And again, teachers are encouraged to have class outside whenever they can.
And that all sounds great with windows open and outside this and outside that, but we know there's plenty of school in November, December, January, February, and March where that's not going to happen. If a school, if a classroom, if a whatever fill in the blank has a case, how is that going to be managed? Is that a by school decision, or is that, well, I'll let you tell me.
Well, actually, it's we make a call to the local health department, and they've been amazing and very responsive to us. And each situation will be handled differently, and we talk it through, and then we use their guidance and what would be the safest thing to do. It perhaps may be taking a classroom to intermittent online instruction for just a short period of time, maybe a couple days or maybe even less, to get the room cleaned and then bringing them back. So we'll make those decisions with consultation with the local health department.
Excellent. And then the $1 million question, the $10 million question, the win the lottery question is there a magic number for the corporation that says if we get X amount of cases or it's at X amount of schools, then we pull the plug? Or is it really just to be as flexible as possible and try, knowing that it's not going to be perfect, trying to get through this first semester the best we can?
And there is no magic number. I wish maybe that there were, but there's not. And so we'll just, you know, continue to consult with the experts, our local physicians, our local health department, the Indiana Department of Health, and we'll make those decisions with the advice of the medical experts at the time.
And Dr. Mobley, if people would like to see all of these guidelines and everything that the board and the MCCSC has come up with, where is the easiest place to find all this information?
Just go right to our MCCSC webpage, mccsc.edu. Right there, you can find the link. It's readily available there on the main page. And our principals are going to have building specific plans out as well, so that they can watch for those to be coming out here very, very soon.
And finally, just so we can clear up any discussion, this is how it's not going to work. I just want to go to class on Fridays to be with my friends, but I want to learn at home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That is not the hybrid style we're talking about, correct?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I just want to make sure everybody's aware of that. I know not everyone listens to this program, but you can't pick and choose which days you go, and I think that's the most important part of it. Thank you so much for your time. We know how busy you are, and I know we'll talk again. Best of luck. And again, the deadline for the MCCSC parents is Monday, and that is next Monday, July 20th.
Yes, that's correct. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Mobley. We appreciate it. That's Dr. Andrea Mobley from the MCCSC, Keith, and her official title is the Assistant Superintendent.
And she's in charge of HR.
Other than that, she's got nothing going on. Next time we talk to her, she wove in the part about how teachers and how you have to do that.
Right.
We get all that. That's important from it.